Charlie Burris on with us to talk. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the I just actually got a text from Charlie. It was a late one. I looked down at my phone and it said Charlie Burris. I was like, oh no, he's off air. He texted me and said, y'all calling. He was ready to get on to talk about
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech and who are they playing? FSU. FSU. There, he's super pumped for that game, I imagine. So let's get Charlie on here. Charlie, what's going on, my man?
Not much. I'm ready. If we want to do this show more like College Game Day, all we got to do is for 45 straight minutes talk about Duke. So I'm ready to do that if you guys want.
We've already had the Zion notification discussion.
We're a real sports show.
I think I just get a notification every 5 minutes. Zion has just walked to class.
Zion has tied his left shoe right on the way.
All right, Charlie.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, ready to talk about this Tennessee-Kentucky game because game day won't.
No, they're not.
Aren't they?
It's only at the Tennessee game.
Like, what are they even doing? Like, I'm watching it right now. Like, what? We're just watching Kentucky's? Like,
they're watching a – what do they do? This is real. This is like some Inception level. It's actually on our team. I didn't even realize it. They're all just looking up, watching a screen of some other team playing basketball. It's not even like a digital
image. The whole Kentucky team is meanwhile just sitting on the court like, hey, guys, we're here too.
All right, Charlie. So how much does Tennessee lose by tonight?
Oh, boy.
15 to 20 points for sure. It's a lock. No.
I was like, okay, whoa. Took a dark turn quick.
This is a pretty interesting game, and I want to know, you know, what you guys think about it too. I will put it this way: Tennessee, I would say, has an advantage at probably 4 out of the 5 positions on the floor, at least 3 for sure. In general, Tennessee is the better team here, more experience, honestly, better players in general, but it's in Rupp, and that's the difference maker for me here. I don't know exactly how I'm leaning, but I would be interested in hearing what a third party thinks. What's your predictions initially?
You guys want me to get back to my predictions?
Let's do it, baby.
I'm taking offense, though. Charlie just called us the third party. Welcome on our show here, Charlie. but this is – Blake, go ahead. I'm angry.
Charlie, we'll revisit what I said earlier. And I don't know why some people seem to be surprised by this, but – I said I am pretty confident that Tennessee wins this game, and I know that they're a 4-point underdog, and I don't know. Like, again, Vegas is Vegas, and they know more than I do maybe, but this team's won 19 games in a row, and they won there last year. This is not the type of team to me, and Charlie, you've seen a lot of Tennessee teams over the years. This is not the type of team, and I hope people don't look at it this way, because this just isn't one of those teams going to go up there and be – you know, intimidated by the atmosphere. This is a type of team to me that thrives on that type of atmosphere. And like you said, I think from a position standpoint, from just individual matchups, Tennessee's a better team.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just in the pantheon of college basketball that I've watched, this Tennessee team, in terms of just how unflappable they are, is pretty incredible, because they've had moments. I think the largest deficit they've had this season is like 9 or 10-ish points. And they can get down by that much, and you still watch it, and you're like, Tennessee's going to win this game. Like, they, you know, you never – genuinely this season, except for, I guess, the second halves of Kansas and the Gonzaga game, I've never felt like, Tennessee might not pull this one out. Even the Vandy game. Yeah. The Vandy game when they were – I guess maybe when they were down 6 in the final 2 minutes, I thought, oh, come on, you know, surely they're not going to actually do this. But other than that, I mean, I don't know that there's been a moment in the season where I was like, nope, I don't think that Tennessee is going to pull this one out. I would say, like, Louisville the other night against Duke when they blew that 23-point lead is the exact antithesis of this Tennessee team, where they just, you know, nobody wanted the ball, and they were like, oh, here, you take the shot, I don't want to take it. And then all of a sudden, Duke comes back and wins that game. You know, this Tennessee team, everybody wants to take that shot, and everybody believes that they're going to pull out every single game. And it's really a demeanor that I would say I never would think would come from a Tennessee basketball team. I've told people this in the last couple of weeks. You know, I started going to Tennessee basketball games when I was 5 or 6 years old. And Jerry Green was the coach. And you looked at this program and you said, okay, this is fun. you know, they can bring out 17,000 fans and maybe they can make a Sweet 16. This is cool. But at the end of the day, Tennessee's a football school and this is as good as it's ever going to get. And I never would have thought that Tennessee would have a program like this. And it really genuinely is incredible. I've been in awe of it this entire season.
You really have to thank Butch Jones for making the football team so bad that this basketball team has really had a light to shine now.
Angering exactly. The fan base so much they're like, I don't even like football. Football's stupid, okay? People get concussions.
Yeah, look at Admiral. Admiral's liking a tweet. That means it's over for the other team. I love how that's been my favorite part of this rise of Tennessee basketball, because Tennessee
every time.
Well, their social media. We talked about this a little bit last week. Was that with Hunter? Was Hunter here on this last week? Yeah, I think that was with Hunter Dunson last week. But we talked about, like, you know, who has the worst social media fan base, and you know, really Tennessee's the opposite of that. Tennessee, their social media fan base is extraordinary. And they're a perfect fit now to have a number one team, but they're kind of like a dog chasing a car. You know, they finally got it, and now they go after anybody. They go after anybody who disagrees with any bit of any part of college basketball. But to watch just him, now everybody's following Admiral Schofield's tweets and seeing what his likes are, and then that's become like its own little thing. That I think I saw somebody on Twitter like make a poem out of it for like Valentine's Day. It was like, roses are orange, they're not red. Once Admiral likes your tweet, your team is dead, or something like that.
No, I mean, this entire team in a sense has sort of become a meme, at least among Tennessee fans, because you have the, you know, they came up with the one fly all fly thing at the beginning of games, where they one player dunks the ball and the rest of the team jumps up, and you know, it's become this thing. Now other teams are doing it, and it's like this social media sensation. Then you have Admiral liking tweets, and you know, anytime he likes a tweet, oh, that team's done for. And of course, there's been plenty of those this week from Kentucky fans. I can tell you that.
Right.
And then on top of that, Tennessee specifically, its social media account for the basketball team. I mean, I know the guys that run it. They are absolutely phenomenal at their jobs, and Tennessee fans have this love affair with the Tennessee basketball Twitter account. So I mean, all the way around, I love what this team is. And I would say, in terms of Tennessee fans on Twitter, if you think it's bad now, you better hope they never get a good football team.
This is so true.
Oh my goodness, man. You know, it's this with basketball, and just amplify that by about 10 if the football team's ever good.
That's what I say about Kentucky. You know, they've had basketball for so long, and then their football team sort of got relevance, and I thought Kentucky basketball fans were the worst, but no, Kentucky football fans are the worst, because when they start beating Georgia, I think it was a couple years ago whenever they did that, or they were close to beat, I can't remember exactly, but still, it was like, you know, they became relevant now, and watching a Kentucky fan and cheer about football is I've left Double Dogs downtown because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I just left. I was like, this is the worst.
I have consistently had Kentucky fans talking trash to me about football this year, which is super confusing because, like, we went 5-7 and still beat Kentucky. Fine. UT went 5-7 and still beat Kentucky. So it's like, I don't know why you're talking. You had your third 10-win season ever. Talk about basketball.
Man, you were just waiting to talk bad about Kentucky football, weren't you? You were just holding that one in your pocket.
Literally, I carry note cards around with me, you know. Kentucky football, what can I say bad about them?
But I think Kentucky fans kind of have that same feeling about now that Tennessee basketball is really good. Kentucky fans are like, ha, 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 that's cute. You've never been here before. Like, they sort of have, every time I ever have a back and forth with a Kentucky fan, they're like, oh, well, get on our level and win a national championship every once in a while. You know, that sort of thing, where Tennessee basketball fans did the same exact thing to Kentucky this season. And I would say Tennessee basketball, for Tennessee fans' sake, the basketball team better not lose to Kentucky, because they'll be in the exact same spot as Kentucky football fans. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, so what, getting to a real topic of it, though, what honestly has to happen for Tennessee to lose? I mean, we've seen them be in the dire straits of against Vandy, which really they were, I think, was more or less a shocking to Tennessee at that point. But taking on a good team, what do you think has to happen for a Tennessee team to lose?
I think Tennessee has to beat itself, and they don't do that very often at all. They have to make mistakes. And in this game, you know, I think both teams are really going to be locked in. I think Kentucky came in, you know, I don't want to make accusations, but I watched the whole game. And I think Kentucky came in a little lackadaisical against LSU and just, you know, got shell-shocked at a deer in headlights when LSU had the lead when the final buzzer sounded. Of course, there was, you know, that final shot and the controversy and everything. But anyway, I just think Kentucky will be much more locked in this game. But Tennessee, you know, if Tennessee's playing its best game, this Kentucky team, I don't, in my opinion, cannot handle Tennessee at its best. When this Tennessee team gets out and running and in transition and they're getting the ball consistently on offensive possessions to Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and maybe Jordan Bowden's making threes, when they're clicking like that, I don't think really there's almost any teams in America that can play with Tennessee at that point. And just Kentucky with how young they are and still kind of wet behind the ears in some ways, I don't think they'll be able to handle it. Now, like I said, Tennessee has to bring that game, and Tennessee will also have to make mistakes. Will they? I'm not sure, but I think, you know, this notion that Rupp is going to crush Tennessee, I think, like Blake said, Tennessee almost thrives in that environment. And I just think that this sets up for Tennessee to have a good game, in my opinion. You know, playing against a young team that they can probably take advantage of in some sense, and in an environment that they sort of thrived in all season. To me, it sets up for a good game for Tennessee, but that's just the way that I see it.
What happens if Grant Williams gets into early foul trouble, though?
Well, and like I said, Tennessee has to be itself. It has to be mistakes like that. If Grant Williams, Kyle Alexander, go out of the game in foul trouble, if Admiral, he's kind of gone for, I would say, 75% of the games. He's excellent, scores 20 points, grabs 8 rebounds, you know, has these great games. And then he'll go and just out of nowhere have a game where he scores 4 points and grabs 2 rebounds, and you're just kind of like, what, you know, what's happened? What is this? Why are you this player all of a sudden? And so if those things happen, and I would say in this one specifically, if Kyle Alexander goes out with foul trouble and Kentucky is just owning the boards, and Kentucky, I think, is by a decent margin the best rebounding team in the SEC at this moment statistically, you know, I think Kyle Alexander going out would be a huge loss for Tennessee and give Kentucky an advantage that it needs in this game. And specifically a problem that Tennessee's had in the last few games is offensive rebounding. And if Kentucky grabs a bunch of offensive rebounds, has a bunch of chances to put shots in the basket, that could be a real problem for Tennessee. So there are certainly things that can happen here for Kentucky to have an advantage. Like I said, it'll come down to Tennessee making mistakes, in my opinion, more than it will be Kentucky playing its best basketball.
Charlie Burris, our guest. And, hey, Charlie, so we'll get you out of here with this. Just a quick question. Are you going to be making your way down to Nashville for the old SEC tournament?
Oh, I will be there. You better believe that.
Then, so I want to make sure. If you're here on a Saturday, I want you to come in studio with us. Can you do that? Can you make that commitment live on air and come in?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, there we go. Sure. There, hey, you locked in.
All right, Jonathan,
you
got it on the recording.
We have this recorded, actually twice.
This is how we get our guests in studio, Charlie. So
it's the only way we can get guests. We just have to put it on air. Otherwise, they're like, yeah, maybe.
Creator of Orange and White Report, Charlie Burris. You can follow him on Twitter, at Charlie Burris. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Go follow him on Twitter because he'll be tweeting all about the game tonight. And I imagine it'll be always good content, as I always see every Saturday, really every day from Charlie. But thanks, Mike, coming on. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right. I appreciate it, guys.